Grudem has divided all the theology, the doctrine of God, into these attributes that he says some are incommunicable. That means we can never be like that because they only attach themselves to God. Independence means God does not need us or the rest of creation for anything. He's self-existent. Unchangeableness, you might have heard of immutability. God never changes. Eternity, God has no beginning. Now look up. Think about this. This is fascinating. God does not have succession of moments like we do. God sees at the same time the past, this present instant, and the future all at the same time. I don't understand that. I can't do that. When I was little in school, they said I was naughty. Nowadays, they'd say I was ADHD or, you know, hyperactive. In fact, do you want to see me in the second grade? Let me show you what I was like in the second grade. I spent every Sunday in Sunday school with my nose in the corner in second grade. I was so bad, when I walked in the door, my teacher would say, Johnny, go stand in the corner. I just couldn't sit still. I couldn't keep my hands off everybody else's desk. I couldn't stop talking. I just was, and the only solution was stand in the corner. So certainly I can't understand the eternity of God, but he has no beginning, no end, no succession of moments, his own being. He sees all time equally and vividly, yet he sees events in time and acts within those times. See, that's part of his power. Even though he sees everything, he can be acting within this moment. In fact, right now, as you're watching this, either in East Asia, in the classroom for credit, sitting at a desk, or maybe you're just on a subway somewhere, like I heard about a professor at a university in India who speaks English, is watching. He said, I'm taking the class with you. He's riding around watching it on his phone. But did you know, wherever you are this instant, God is in that instant with you, acting, seeking to open your mind, and whatever your fears are today, he wants to put his arms around you as you understand his attributes. Look back at the slide, eternity. What's the next one, number four? Omnipresence. Let me read that to you. God is present at every point of space with his whole being, yet he acts differently in different places. Now, what does that mean? God's omnipresence does not mean that God is so big that he's as big as the universe and he's in the universe, and it doesn't mean he's so small. What it means is that he is equally present, equally, totally present in every part of the universe. Remember, you know, I can't fully comprehend that, but it's true. The next one is his unity. The unity of God may be defined as God is not divided into parts, yet we see different attributes of God emphasized at different time. The scriptures say God's attributes are never singled out so that one attribute is more important than the other. So those are the incommunicable attributes. Look at your slides. Then we have God's communicable attributes. That means ways that we're like God. He is spiritual, invisible. He has knowledge, truthfulness, and faithfulness. You can look up, and I'll just go through what those are. Spirituality means that God is spirit. What does that mean? He is spirit. He is not corporeal. He doesn't have a body. Whenever we see God represented, it's either what's called a theophany, where you see God on a throne and it's just this blazing light, or it's Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You can't see the Father because he's spirit. You can't see the Spirit because the Holy Spirit is also spirit. God the Father and God the Spirit are what we would call invisible. And that's the second attribute. See that? Spirituality, that's what their substance is. But the invisibility is the fact that they're invisible. And, you know, we can go on and on. But look at number eight there, number three of this new list, God's knowledge or omniscience. And what that means is that God fully knows all things that are possible and actual. Now look up. You know how computers play against each other, the game of chess? And when they play, they both know that if one makes a move, the other, you know, it recalculates because it knows every possible move. Those are two computers. You know what God knows? He knows everything actual. He knows everything that will happen. And he also knows everything that could happen. You see, how do you know that? Because Jesus said, while he was preaching during his earthly ministry in the Gospel by Mark, he looked at the people and he said, did you know if I said this in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented? Then again, he says another time, did you know if I would have done this mighty work, the people in Sodom and Gomorrah would have repented? You see, Jesus knows everything that will happen, but he also knows what could have potentially, what could have happened. But that's just part of God's knowledge, his truthfulness, you can see on the slide, his faithfulness, many of these you know, his moral attributes, this is his character. Number one, God is good. That's just a phenomenal thing to think about. God does everything that is good and worthy of approval. Number two there, his love means he eternally gives himself to others. His mercy, grace, and patience, how thankful we are for that. His holiness means he's separated from sin. He's devoted to seeking his own honor. I like that next one. Number five, peace or order. That God is separate from all confusion and disorder. Now look up for just a second. Did you know that humans are characterized by disorder and fallen humans by confusion? That's just part of the fall and part of our humanity. God wants to bring about clarity instead of confusion, and he wants to bring about peace rather than disorder.